Now we know in this story, now Jacob didn't know, that this man was God. And this story has always baffled me because I thought, well, what is God doing coming down here and wrestling with Jacob? What good does that do for Jacob? What good does it do for us as readers today? What good does this story do for our lives? Why is it in the book of Genesis? Why is it there for our benefit? And so as Jacob is wrestling with God, something else interesting happens, and that is, no one's prevailing. No one's really winning the fight. And you sit there and think to yourself, if God is really wrestling with Jacob, how come God in all of his infinite power can't beat Jacob? Right? It's almost like Hulk Hogan of wrestling back in the day fighting against a high school wrestler. You know one's going to win. It's going to be Hulk Hogan. But he's not. God is wrestling with Jacob. God, the powerful God, is wrestling with his created man and not prevailing. I think there's a reason to that. We'll get into in just a moment. God could have, at any moment, won that fight fair and square. There's a reason. He was trying to teach Jacob a lesson here. Jacob wouldn't give up unless he was blessed by this man. Jacob hung on for dear life. Even when his hip was popped out of socket, he would not let go. He was going to win this fight. He was going to win. Finally, God blessed him and revealed who he truly was. That Jacob had wrestled with God. See, I've always thought this story was so weird. What's the point? What's the purpose? But looking at it, doesn't this story describe the relationship that most of us have with God on a daily basis? This describes not only the life that Jacob had had so far, that is wrestling with God and wrestling with sin and wronging his brother and wronging everybody that he had come in contact with, but it describes the relationship that each and every single one of us have with God as well. And that is, we all have sin and temptation in our life, and when we're partaking in that sin and when we're living life we know that we shouldn't be living, isn't that us wrestling with God? Haven't we wrestled in our minds with God about why He wants us to do certain things or treat people certain ways or act certain ways or speak certain ways? Or why can't I do this? Why can't the church do this? Why can't I as an individual? Whatever it is, don't we wrestle with God almost on a daily basis? Wondering why we can't have the fun of sin. Wondering why His Word and His will tells us to do one thing when I want to do another. This is a story for us. It reminds me of what Jesus says. You know, every single person in here is at war with themselves. We call it the battle of the wills. I want to do one thing, but God wants me to do another. It reminds me exactly of what He told His apostles when Jesus went to pray the night He was betrayed. And you remember He would come back and you would find them sleeping. And He told them this, as we read about in Matthew 26. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Doesn't that describe that battle, that inner battle within, the battle of the wills? We want to serve God. We want to do what's right. We want to do His will. But for some reason, the world keeps pulling us a different direction. And it's that inner struggle that we have. The spirit wants to do it, but the flesh is so weak. That's us wrestling with God, just like Jacob did so long ago. He did it physically, yet we do it spiritually. We do it emotionally. We do it socially. And we're constantly wrestling with God and what He expects of us and what He wants from us. That's where Jacob found himself. I've always thought this story was strange in Genesis 32 until I realized what the true purpose was. And that was in reading and kind of studying some of these things for this year, I think, of Driven and what drives us forward and who we're really surrendering to, giving our all to God, and some of those things we're going to go over. Something hit me as I was studying this story of Jacob. Now, as this story has a very specific purpose, this is when we see Jacob's life start to change. Because it was then, at this moment, when he realized he wrestled with God. And God could have taken him at any moment. God could have ended his life just like that. God could have won the wrestling match at any moment. God could have overpowered him at any given moment, yet let Jacob wrestle with him all night. Because he was trying to teach Jacob, and he was trying to teach each and every one of us a very valuable lesson. And that is, it was only when Jacob truly surrendered to God and realized God's authority and power that God became his God. Once Jacob realized who this was, "I have come," he said, "face to face with God. And my life is preserved." Once he realized that, his life changed. Isn't that what he says in verse 30? "I have come face to face with God. And my life was preserved." At that moment, he realized God could have taken my life. The God of all authority, the God of all power, he could have ended my life. He could have taken me here and now, yet preserved my life. And once he realized the goodness and the graciousness of God and the power and the authority of God, that's when God became Jacob's God. And when he truly decided to give his life to God Almighty. And I want to illustrate that because I connected something I never had before. And I want to walk through this with you. These will appear on the screen. At every moment before this moment of wrestling with God, I want you to notice how God is described, or how Jacob described God. It starts back in Genesis 28 when the Lord is speaking to Jacob. He says, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac." You know, when we speak today in our New Testament terms, and we kind of speak of the God of the Old Testament, you'll often hear it said, "He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Right? But before this moment of wrestling with God, when God is talking to Jacob, he says, "I'm the Lord of God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac." No Jacob. You skip forward another couple chapters and it says, "Unless the God of my father," this is now Jacob speaking. He said, "Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed," talking to Laban, his father-in-law. Did you notice how he described God again? The God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. No God of Jacob. You skip forward into chapter 32, the same chapter that we just read from just a little bit earlier. Look at again how God is described. "Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me." You notice how Jacob described God again? He was the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And then we get this wrestling match. We get this moment where he comes. You know, we have a joke in our house. We have a come-to-Jesus meeting. This was a come-to-God meeting, literally. A meeting between him and God where they wrestled it out. A lifetime of wrestling. A lifetime of hardship. A lifetime of war with God and war with his brother and his father and all the relationships he had. A lifetime of fighting against what God wanted. He stole the birthright from his brother. He stole the blessing from his father that was meant for his brother. He went to Laban and had a difficult relationship with Laban. Had a difficult relationship with his first wife, Leah. This was a man who had a lifetime of fighting and a lifetime of running and hardships and toil. And it was always the God of Abraham and Isaac. Until you get to this moment when he came face to face with God and he realized the power of God and the authority of God, that he saw God face to face and he prevailed. His life was preserved. And then and only then did he realize what a relationship with God truly meant. sin surrendering his life to God. Now, I want you to notice something in the next chapter. I want you to turn here because I want you to see it. In Genesis chapter 33. Well, I wrote down the wrong verse. I wrote down the wrong verse and I don't see it off the top of my head because that verse I wrote down is not the one I want, but you will see it. And I'll find it, and how about I'll give it to you tonight? And that way you can see it for yourself. But in chapter 33, Jacob will say for the very first time that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That from that moment on, after fighting with this God, after seeing God face to face, from that moment on, it was the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. On what that would have meant. But at that moment, God became his God. Spent a lifetime living in lies and deception, had ruined relationships with everybody, almost everybody in his life, coming face to face with his brother in just a few short hours. And God was trying to teach him something. That it was time to surrender. It was time to give your life to the one true God. And that's the same message that each and every single one of us need to take for ourselves. It's time for us to stop fighting with God. It's time for us to surrender. It's time for us to give ourselves completely over to God. You know, when you look at everything going on in this world, it's so easy to be pulled in so many different directions. And what you start seeing is, when sin and temptation enter our lives, it's really easy to be persuaded in different directions. Sin is what holds us back from that relationship with God. And it's time to stop fighting with Him. It's time to give ourselves completely over to His will. And that means giving up my will. Isn't that what Jesus prayed so long ago? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to turn with me there. In Hebrews chapter 12, after we get to the end of that hall of faith that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in verse 12 that we also, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. So that sin holds us back. It ensnares us. We're trying to run. We're trying to get to our goal of heaven, like we just sang about a few moments ago. But unless we surrender ourselves, we stop fighting with God, we stop holding ourselves back with the sin, we will never be able to get there. It's time we realize the power and the authority that God can have in our lives, but we have to stop fighting with Him. We have to recognize what His will is in our lives, and that is to come to Him, that He wishes all men should come to repentance. He wants us all to spend eternity with Him. Just like surrender is in war, when we stop fighting, it's time for us to find peace with Jesus. We had a lesson just a few weeks ago about how Jesus was the Prince of Peace and how He can give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, about how only the peace in Jesus is something that can enter into us and give us a peace that no one else can ever experience except through our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus says in John 16, verse 33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what we can find in Jesus if we just surrender ourselves. He says the world's full of troubles, of tribulation, of hardship. The world is full of fighting. Because there's sin in the world, and when we have sin, we're fighting with God. But through through Jesus, He has overcome the world and shown us that peace is possible when we come to Him. In Colossians chapter 1, in verses 19 and 20, Paul writes there in Colossians chapter 1. For it is pleased the Father that in Him and all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. It has pleased the Father when we are reconciled to Him, when we come to Him, when we join ourselves together with Him and having made peace through the blood of His cross. It's time to find peace with Jesus. If we're going to surrender, if we're going to stop fighting with God, if we're going to find peace with Jesus, there's one last thing that we have to do, and that is we have to let God lead us. We have to, just like those surrenders that we looked at just a few moments ago, we have to relinquish that control. We have to give up control of our lives and understand that there is someone better out there, and that is God, that our lives should be living for. That God has a plan, God has a purpose for each and every single one of us. And it's only when we're willing to stop fighting, to find the peace with Jesus, and to give up our control over our life, when we will really find our true purpose in God. I want you to notice something back in the book of Genesis about Jacob. Much later on in his life, as Jacob is about ready to pass on, he's giving blessings to his children and to his grandchildren. And I want you to notice how he describes God in his life. It says in Genesis 48, verse 15, as he's blessing his children and grandchildren, he says, he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all the life long to this day. There's something important in that verse. When he describes God as the one who has fed him his whole life long. The meaning behind what he's getting across there, and some of your versions will have this, and I feel like it's better translated this way, is God, the shepherd of my life. The one who feeds me. He's saying he was the shepherd of my life. As after he was able to realize the power of God, after he was able to stop the fighting, stop the running, he was willing to surrender himself to the power of God. He let him become the shepherd of his life. He let him become the God that would lead him. I don't think it's a coincidence that after those moments in Genesis 32 where he wrestled with God and he kind of came to his senses, that you see things start to fall in line for Jacob. Jacob's life after that was a pretty good life. Yes, you go through the Joseph years where his son, but that wasn't of his doing, where his son was ripped away from him. But what you start seeing after Jacob wrestled with God is you start seeing God lead his life. You start seeing him become a pillar in God's timeline, where he can confront Esau and they embrace in a hug, where he can take his family and join them for the rest of the years of his life in the promised land and in the land of Egypt. You see a completely different Jacob, a completely different Israel from that moment on in Genesis 32. After he wrestles with God, he sees God face to face and prevails. I think it's because at that moment he truly surrendered to God. He was willing to stop fighting, find peace, and let God shepherd his life. How many of us need to make that same decision? How many of us need to come to God? How many of us are continuing to fight? Are continuing to grapple with sin? Are continuing to push the boundaries in what God wants from us? How many of us are unwilling to surrender certain parts of our lives and give them completely to God? How many of us are unwilling to let God shepherd our lives? How many? How many are here this morning that need to give their lives completely over to God? How many people are here this morning need to stop fighting? Need to find peace? And need to let God shepherd them? You know, when we think of surrender, as I said a moment ago, at the very beginning, that when we surrender, it typically means we're the losing side. And I think that's why so many people are so hesitant to give their lives completely over to Christ, completely over to God, because we feel like we're going to lose something. Maybe we feel like we're going to lose a piece of who we are. Maybe we feel like we're going to lose the fun that we're supposed to have here in this world, in this life. But that's not what surrender really is. Surrender does not mean there has to be a winner and a loser. I think surrender just means, in this case, that there's a weaker and a stronger. That we come to God as weak. Because He is the power of God that can forgive and that can heal. There's no losing when we come to God. We lose nothing but gain everything. I want to share with you one last story about a surrender, and then the lesson will be yours. And that is, at Appomattox, when General Lee and Grant signed the surrender and their treaty. Like I said earlier, there's typically a big celebration of surrenders and treaties and a formal celebration of what's happening. As the band began to play outside that little home in Appomattox, they were playing a song of celebration of a northern victory. And General Grant quickly ran outside and quieted them down. He said, "The war is over. They're our countrymen again." In his eyes, there was not a winner or a loser. It was that they could be won again. Isn't that what it's like when we come to Christ? That when we're willing to surrender, when the fighting stops, when the dust settles, when the sin is no more, when we can come to Him and we can make peace through the waters of baptism, when we let God lead us and we surrender ourselves to His will, not mine, it's not that we've lost. It's that we become His children. We become His family. That is something to celebrate. Who's ready to surrender? There are many people here this morning who have already given their lives to Christ. This year is about driving forward and keep pushing on. And if you're here this morning, you've already surrendered your life to Christ, I invite you to just open up your life and see if you truly surrendered every single part to Him. Are you willing to let Him drive you forward this year? And let Him use you to accomplish His will? But if you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Christ. You've never been buried in the waters of baptism. You've never had that peace that can surpass all understanding. If you're still fighting with sin, if you're still struggling, and you want to come today, and you want to surrender yourself to God so that you can live a new life, so that you can have hope and eternal life, if you want to let God start leading you and let Him be your shepherd, there's an opportunity now. Jared's going to lead a song. all to Jesus, I surrender. You can do that right now as we stand and as we sit.